Welcome, everyone, to our weekly 3-Minute Therapy podcast. I'm Dr. Michael Edelstein. I'm a clinical psychologist, and I have a remote and in-person practice and 5 books. The most popular is called 3-Minute Therapy. And I'm here with my co-host, Mick Berry, who is an expert on the subject today, which is REBT, Rational Emotive Behavior Therapy. And Rational Emotive Behavior Therapy was developed by Albert Ellis in the mid-50s, and it was a sea change in the field of psychotherapy. And Albert Ellis built on REBT, on the idea that our emotions don't come from situations, but rather they come from our thinking about situations. And when we have disturbed emotions, that means we're thinking irrationally in terms of demands, must, should, supposed tos, have tos, I must do well and get approval or else I'm no good, you must treat me well or else you're no good, and my life must be fair, easy, and hassle-free or else it's no good. So we teach people to identify the must that's causing their anxiety, anger, or depression, and then how to question, challenge, and uproot their must thinking. And underneath their must thinking is preferences, since musts and shoulds start with a strong preference, and then humans tend to escalate that into demands. Mick, did you want to say anything in addition, in introduction?
Yeah, we also do not expect people to be 100% rational. As Albert Ellis himself said, the goal is not 100% rational, but to be largely so.
Yeah, that's right. You're not going to be 100% rational because you're an imperfect human with an imperfect brain. It's okay to shoot for that as long as you don't make it a demand. And that could be a motivator. And there are derivatives of must, such as I can't stand it if things aren't the way I think they must be. It's awful, terrible, and horrible if you don't treat me well. And I'm a bad person. I'm a worm if I fail. So when you get rid of the must, you get rid of those derivatives of the must. Mick?
What did you mean by the word derivatives? Because I think of I can't stand it. That's definitely connected to I must not have this situation. But what is the thought I can't stand it? Does that happen before believing I must not have this situation? Or does I must not have this situation cause the thought I can't stand it? Or could it be both ways?
Well, normally, what I found with people in my practice, not always, but normally it starts with a must and then it leads to one of these derivatives. But as you're pointing out, I think some people are more aware of their I can't stand it, or their awfulizing, or their self or other downing than their must. So if you, viewer, are more in touch with those irrationalities, then question, challenge, and contradict those. So yeah. Thanks for the question, Mick.
I have another question.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I've often with myself, I've gone off after ripping apart the idea I cannot stand this situation rather than going after this situation must not exist. And when I tell myself, well, what do I mean by I cannot stand this situation? I obviously am standing it. I'm not going to blow up. I'm not going to disintegrate. I'm not going to fall apart. I will be standing this situation even if I'm feeling bad in this situation. So I obviously can stand it. And since I can stand it and I am going to stand it no matter what, I therefore don't need this situation to be any different than it is. So getting at going after the thought, ripping apart the thought, I can't stand this situation, allows me to then just easily get rid of the idea this situation must not exist.
Yeah, that's an excellent illustration of the I can't stand it being more preeminent in this case than the what I was calling the other aspects or the derivatives. And so then, as Mick demonstrated, work on that and rip up that and show yourself again and again and again and again the irrationality, lack of logic, lack of data to support your I can't stand it. Or if you're questioning your demands, your musts and shoulds, use the same process in uprooting that. Mick?
Yeah, well, when I have the thought, I cannot stand this situation, I have generally been looking on that as, oh, there's a must here. I wasn't thinking necessarily about that is actually not the must, but there it is an indication. There is a must going on. What is the must? This situation must be different than it is. Well, there's no reason the situation must be different than it is, and I don't need to worry about the situation being different than it is because I am going to stand it. I like it to be different. I want to do what I can to change the situation, but I don't have to have it be different than it is. The proof is that I am going to stand this, and it is not dire that this situation be different at all for me. I'm actually going to be alive and even thriving, possibly thriving under circumstances which I actually don't like and that I can't do anything about.
Yeah, that's a great analysis and excavation of I can't stand it. So why don't we turn the microscope on the must? And when we do that, we see that all musts are fictions. There's nothing that must happen because you want it to happen. There's nothing you have to do because you want to do it. And there's no reason other people absolutely must, should, and ought treat you any particular way, treat you nicely or kindly. It would be lovely if they did, but it's not a dire necessity. So when you notice a must, then you can remind yourself it's fiction. All musts and shoulds are fiction. Reality is reality, not the way you think it must be. So as Mick would say, rip up your musts, rip up your shoulds. Yeah, Mick?
Yeah. So I still have a question about the use of the word derivative. I haven't looked it up, but by saying I can't stand it is a derivative of a must, what do you mean by derivative?
Oh, yeah. Okay, good question. And the answer is usually, not always, as you demonstrated, not always, but usually the must come first. The must is the larger umbrella over I can't stand it, I'm no good, life is awful, horrible, and terrible. That's what I mean, that normally the must come first. The must is larger than the others. But as you're demonstrating, not always. And I've had clients who did not identify musts at all. So questioning musts was meaningless to them. But they did identify with putting themselves down. So that was the thing we worked on, that you're just an imperfect human who acts imperfectly with an imperfect brain. You're never a bad person. You're never a rotten person or a worthless failure. And you can do the same with these others. So by derivative, I mean that usually the must comes first, and usually the must is the umbrella. Yeah, Mick?
Yeah, well, I know that we like to keep REBT in simple terms, and the simplest is get rid of the demand, and then you'll feel functional, you will feel okay, meaning that you will be capable of living in whatever situation or circumstances you encounter. But if we say we're going after the derivatives, it seems to me it's getting a little complicated there. However, I think I could simplify it by saying that we either think of the world as a rotten place and not navigable Is that a right word? It cannot be navigated. Or I am rotten and unacceptable, or other people are unacceptable. So an outcome, a derivative of the musts are, I'm unacceptable, you're unacceptable, the world is unacceptable. And if we look on those three things as the three primary derivatives, then we can see that the musts are, if I'm thinking I'm unacceptable, generally, I think it's safe to say connected to that is the must, I must do well. The world is unacceptable is connected to the must, the world must be easy. And you're unacceptable is connected to the must, you must do what I want you to do. So then I think that I've encapsulated it into very simple, understandable terms. Three musts. I must do well. The world must be easy. You must do what I want. And three put downs or acceptances. I'm acceptable. The world's acceptable. You're acceptable.
Yeah, that's very good. That's one way to look at it. And as you said earlier, another way is through the ICANN standards. By the way, Mick, are you using the term ICANN standard as a derivative of a must, or are you using it as a demand? When you say get rid of your demands, are you including ICANN standard as a demand or something else?
No, I'm not getting rid of it not including it as a demand, but I do often look at that thought and rip apart that thought. And I think with the thought, I can't stand it, what I'm saying is this is a situation that is unacceptable to me, but that's not true. This situation is acceptable, even though I'd like it to be different.
Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah. Now, Mick?
I just wanted to say, I want to keep things in simple terms for people because REBT is grounded in its efficacy in simplicity. Things are not complicated when it comes to mental health, but as Albert Ellis would say, it's simple, but it's not easy.
And what it's not easy means it's not easy to change your thinking. It takes practice, more practice cognitively, emotionally, in imagery, and behaviorally. So it takes a lot of practice. And I practice this every day in the morning before I start my day. I practice identifying a must or should and challenging, questioning, and uprooting my musts and shoulds and focusing on my preferences, which are underlying that. Mick?
Yeah, and I wanted to say behaviorally, I've heard Albert Ellis say, push your ass. So you can change your thinking by pushing yourself to do different behavior to prove to yourself that your erroneous thinking is indeed erroneous.
Yeah, you push yourself to do different behaviors, but you also push yourself to write out on a regular basis your irrational beliefs, your musts and shoulds, your demands, your I can't standards, and question it in writing, question it in your head, and question it in speaking to yourself. Mick has developed something called 3-minute monologues, where you speak to yourself out loud, like when you're driving in the car, and you can do that. You do the monologue where you say, I don't have to have her approval. I would like it. It would be great, but it's not an absolute must. I can stand her disapproval. It's not the end of the world. It doesn't make me a loser if she disapproves of me. Mick, do you want to get the last word?
Well, I just wanted to say regarding 3-minute monologues, the reason I came up with that is if you're driving a car or throughout the day, you often do not have the time to do an ABC on a piece of paper. And so it's a way to still practice REBT when a piece of paper or your computer and document is not available. So I invented that, and I actually just set my stopwatch on my watch, and I will do it for 3 minutes and reinforce the rational thinking and rip apart the irrational thinking. As Albert Ellis said, we rip apart people. We rip apart. That was not a Freudian slip, because we don't believe in Freud's ideas.
That was an Elysian slip.
A what?
Elysian slip.
Yeah, it wasn't a slip of an indication of anything true. We rip apart ideas. We do not rip apart people. We rip apart ideas, not people.
Yes, exactly. Okay, well, we actually were going to discuss another topic, stoicism, with a guest, but somehow there was probably a miscommunication. The guest didn't show up. So we'll do stoicism sometime in the future. And if you have a suggestion for a topic or subject you'd like us to discuss, comment below, let us know, give us a thumbs up. Since we just did a fabulous job on this, doesn't mean we're fabulous people. And volunteer if you'd like to be a guest. Our missing guest today did volunteer, so that's the first step. And again, my co-host here is Mick Berry, and as you see, a fabulous REBTer. I'm the clinical psychologist and author of 3 Minute Therapy, Change Your Thinking, Change Your Life, other books. Mick and I have many podcasts on subjects related to REBT, Rational Emotive Behavior Therapy. I also have a Psychology Today blog on topics related to REBT. And thank you very much, Chris Bassini, for being the tech engineer in the background. And subscribe to the 3 Minute Therapy podcast to do what, Mick?
To stay on the rational side of life.
Beautiful.